And welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church, and with me as always is Pastor Tim Robbins, my dad.
How you doing?
And my assistant Levi is my brother.
Hello.
Before we get started, I want to go ahead and say to you guys, I hope you guys are really enjoying the podcast. I know it's really been a blessing to me to be able to record. I know I say that a lot, but I do really enjoy it. I really just be able to sit around and talk about the things of the Lord and different things in the Bible and answer different questions.
Yeah, we've always kind of really wanted to make sure that we're just giving a blessing, and just we're trying to walk in the light we have and sharing just the truths and things that have always been maybe a drink of water, a life to someone.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's just kind of what we do. And so that's kind of our purpose in this thing is, and hopefully it's a blessing to others.
If you have any questions you want answered, feel free to message us. We'd be glad to answer them on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we take time out to try to address, you know, any things. We don't really want to seek to get into deep, you know, doctrinal, philosophical debates.
Which cuts out all my questions. So
yeah. Well, it's this effect. Some people are contentious, and, you know, the Bible says love covereth a multitude of sins, and you know, love speaks the truth, and but the Bible says we're to speak the truth in love. And, you know, a lot of some people, that it's all about just they want to fight and they want to debate. I'm not really interested in doing that. You know, I would certainly answer somebody's question, and I would try to help somebody, but I really want to just share truth that can help people.
Absolutely. And, I mean, all of our ministry is based on love and family and unity and support, so, I mean, I might as well. You know what I mean? So, I mean, to be honest with you, I know specifically one of my favorite things I like to be able to do is just we get together, and if you listened to last week about how it takes like an hour and a half, 2 hours to record it, it's because we're too busy goofing around and just being silly the whole time. It's just, you know, just trying to keep the mood light, and we often have to cut and edit and change things because we're always goofing off. I know it's just really a lot of fun to be able to do this with my brother and my dad, so.
So do we have any new states that have listened in yet, or?
You know, not really, but I've seen that there's been kind of an uptick in downloads from South Carolina.
Really?
That's been pretty popular. And strangely enough, Texas, I never thought, you know, I don't know anybody in Texas, so it's kind of strange for me to. Yeah, strange for me to be able to get anybody to listen from Texas, but South Carolina, I love that state. It's really beautiful.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
never been to Texas,
sure.
though.
Texas is great from what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's warm. It's definitely a plus over Iowa.
Yeah, it just depends on what part of Texas you're in. And, you know, eastern part of Texas and stuff is a little more, you know, populated. And West Texas, of course, is considerably more...
arid.
Yeah, and more like you're going towards the, you know, New Mexico and stuff. And so...
The desert kind of
landscape. Yeah, it depends what you like. You know, I like the mountains and stuff, so that's definitely something I would enjoy. And
I've always wanted to go out to somewhere a little more arid like that, like, you know, West Texas, New Mexico, stuff like that, where it's a little more desert landscape. I've never been there. I'd love to see it, you know.
It's a different view. I mean, it's you've got to kind of have an appreciation for that kind of stuff, and I'm a mountains person, so I appreciate things like that.
More of a log cabin over adobe building style.
Yeah, that's for sure. And of course, I love South Carolina, and I love the Carolinas, and Charlotte, North Carolina is probably one of my favorite places in the world to go to. And
you see, mine is Eastern Tennessee. I love Eastern Tennessee.
I'm pretty much almost all the same through there. I just like North Carolina a lot, and got a lot of good memories there. And a friend of mine pastored just right across the border from Charlotte, down in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and so we would go down there every year and preach when we were staying in Charlotte, and now he's in Knoxville, Tennessee, and which is Eastern Tennessee. And
I know where it's at.
Beautiful area there as well.
I know he moved to a good location.
Yeah, he traded up, that's for sure. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but nevertheless, though, we appreciate people who listen, and we just try to highlight here just for a moment of those who are. That are tuning in, and again, we just want to be able to be a blessing to you in any way we can. So
absolutely, which actually kind of brings up, you know, the mugs. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about that now or later, but if you want one of our Water from the Rock podcast mugs, feel free just to message us on Twitter. Give us your name, give us your address. We'll send you one for free.
And T-shirts as well. Yeah. We're working on those.
They say you might get a draw, you might get a T-shirt or a mug, or you might get both. We're not sure too sure yet what we're going to do, but we want you to be proud of what you listen to and be able to just kind of enjoy and spread the word, you know. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely something we're excited about.
Absolutely.
Got
that's
a lot
sure.
going on.
So,
yeah, but if you wanted to do that, that'd be great. I'd love to hear from you. If you just want to message us, say, hey, listen, we're listening, and we've enjoyed this one, I'd be glad to hear from you. I hear a lot from different people about different ones that they like, but we're always glad to hear about what everybody likes, you know? So
yeah, and that's for sure. One of the things that I would like to do today, though, normally we kind of do a little bit of question answer and stuff, but today I'd like to just change gears a little bit and share a testimony or a story.
Sure.
And every so often I'd like to just share. I've had some pretty interesting experiences in my life, and if you've noticed,
that's the half of it. I mean,
yeah, it's been. Brother Suter said to me one time, he says, man, he says, you have some of the most weirdest experiences.
Let me say this real quick before we get started. First off, it's good that you want to do this. I wasn't sure where we're going to go today, so I'm glad that you got a story you want to share. One, and two, the last one you did is one of our most downloaded ones. It's very popular.
Yeah, losing a bank deposit for Walmart and then flunking the lie detector test or the polygraph test. And
developing an ulcer.
Just about everything in my entire life falling apart and it all fixing the night I got baptized within a matter of a few minutes of each other. Is just utterly a grace of God, and just shows you that God had used that. And
by the way, folks, just so you know, I know that you guys know that me and Levi are, you know, our dad is the pastor, the one that kind of tells the stories and stuff, but believe it or not, I learn new things about these stories every time he tells them, and specifically, like, last time we shared on the podcast, I learned new things about that story. I didn't even know. I don't know if the stories are getting better with age, if you know what I mean, or if he's just remembering more, which would be weird.
Are you saying the older I get, the faster I was? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that.
And these aren't embellished at all. I remember things that maybe I didn't tell before, but I've told them so many times in church that anymore I can just simply number them and say, everybody know which one I was talking about. And so, number 12, and they don't know.
What I meant
know,
was,
so.
Is I mean, yeah. I'm still learning even as we do this, so I hope it's a blessing to you. I know I'm learning new things
Absolutely.
What story do you want to share with us today?
Well, I was 20 years old whenever I was worked for Walmart there, and I'm 48 now, I'll be 49 this year. And so we're talking 29 years ago whenever I went through that whole baptism and wouldn't get baptized. And
so literally a lifetime ago.
Yeah, literally 29 years ago. Older than
I am.
Yeah, so anyway, though, shortly after that, as soon as I got baptized, everything changed at Walmart, and I was living in Lincoln, Illinois. My wife and I, we lived at 309 20th Street, Lincoln, Illinois, and a little triplex house, and you had duplexes. This was a triplex, and all of a sudden, Walmart promoted me into full management. I was a trainee at that time period. And as an assistant manager there, and they promoted me in the full assistant management role, and I got transferred to a town called Waterloo, Illinois, and that's a suburb of St. Louis. It's a bedroom community, and so we got there, and we were there about a month, and we had rented a little apartment, but it wasn't going to work out. The fact that we had, you know, really a screaming baby, and there was an older couple lived downstairs, and they were renting their house, and they were not happy about
Same
any
they
of that.
Hated
so,
you.
so we were quick to find another place, and at that time period, there was a guy that was working for us. And working for me in the foods department, he was a student, a teenager in high school. And anyway, and he and I got along really well, and he was just a good kid. And I was only a few years older than him. I'm 21 years old at the time, you know, barely getting ready to turn 21 when I went there. And I turned 21, I think, 3 weeks after I was there or so, somewhere around that time period. And so this guy here is like 18, 17, 18. So, you know, we're pretty close in age. Anyway, he said that his uncle had a house. His uncle owns a farm, and he has a house that he rents out, and it's just part of his farm, and you just rent the house. And it was in a town outside of a little town called Valmire. Now, Valmire is now, I think it's called Valley View now. I'm not sure if it's still called Valmire. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think
it's called
it
Valley View.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was down in the Mississippi River bottoms. And you go outside of Waterloo about 20 miles, and you go straight towards the Mississippi River. And then you go down these big, huge bluffs into these bottoms, and that's where the town sit. Then you went path through the town. You drove out towards the Mississippi River, and you drove up on a levee. And there's a little bitty town, about three houses, called Harrisonville there. And you went through that, and you drove up on a levee. It's about 25 foot high. And there's a blacktop road on there, but it wasn't a painted road. It wasn't striped or anything like that, just blacktop.
If you're having trouble visualizing it, Google Maps it real quick. It's fine. We'll wait.
Yeah, and so anyway, and you would you drive on that road, and farmers use that, you know, the tractors and you know, the people drive on it and stuff, and but it wasn't really a main thorough road, but it's a long, I think the levee's about 25 feet in the air, and it's a long winding thing, and I drove down that up a couple of miles, and that's where that house was. So I was literally about a good 30 solid minutes away from work. And which really worked to my benefit once I got right with the Lord. I really used that time to pray. I would pray on the way in, pray on the way out, and I'd have, you know, literally an hour's worth of prayer and every day, and then I would read my Bible. I was at work a lot. But I got transferred down there, having just gotten baptized on top of the world. Everything's great. And then I get transferred down there, and I remember the manager asking me, you know, what are some of the things that I was really strong about, and I told him I was really strong about religion. You know, I was a church guy, and he said, okay, I appreciate that. And he was a Catholic guy, of course, so he appreciated it. But as soon as I got there, this newfound freedom that I had just opened up the door of rebellion that I had. You know, all of a sudden I was free of no more weight of a lost bank deposit. I was free of no more threat of losing my job.
And then like 150, 200 miles away from your parents. It's just a whole new world of you being free.
I might have been a little bit closer to my parents than I was in Lincoln, but you know, I'm married, I've got a wife, I've got a child, but the store that I was at was a store that was not as strongly run as the store in Lincoln. Don't misunderstand me. The guy did a super job. It's just the guy in Lincoln was he's a regional vice president just a few years down from where I mean, he moves up a couple of different levels, and he's a junior vice president for the company.
In just a handful
manager
of years, yeah.
To what we called a district manager to a regional vice president. And this guy was sharp as a tack. I mean, he was phenomenal. And so I was working for him in Lincoln, and then I go down here, and this guy here, he's more content being a store manager for the rest of his life, you know, which at that time period, those guys were making probably about $100,000 a year, and this was back in 1991, 92, 93, somewhere in there when I was working for the guy, and so he made a pile of money way back in the day, and you know, I don't make that kind of money, I've never made that kind of money, and so all of a sudden, I'm in this store that it's just much more laid back. It's not as intense. I felt like I went from being in a store where I was barely getting by and barely making the grade to I was one of the best assistant managers in this.
Superstar.
Yeah, I was like the superstar, exactly. And so all of a sudden I have this new freedom.
Which plays great to your confidence level that you already had being a 21-year-old.
Oh, man, absolutely, absolutely.
There's gas on your fire.
And so then I come in, and I am so sharp at what I'm doing. I mean, I am on top of it. The department managers are respecting me. Mm-hmm. People are following me. I've got a newfound following. These guys are just like my friends. But yet they reverence me. They respect me. They do what I tell them to do. It was completely different than when I was at Lincoln. Lincoln, I was chasing my tail the whole time I was there, barely managing to get by. And all of a sudden now in Waterloo, I'm, like you said, a superstar. I mean, I feel like I'm the best assistant manager that store's ever had, if not the best, but definitely one of the best. And so I feel like I'm just on top of the world. And this freedom is really boosting my confidence. It's really making me feel like, you know, the worst is over, and I really wanted to climb the corporate ladder for Walmart. And I found myself thinking, you know, now that I've been through this thing, it won't be long. I'd be a store manager, then I want to be a district manager. And I felt like in my 30s, by the time I was 30 years old, I wanted to be a district manager. You know, I'm 21 at the time. That gives me, you know, another year or two as an assistant and a few years as a store manager. By the time I'm 30, I'd be a district manager. And maybe in my mid-30s, 35, 36, I could be a regional vice president. That's the way I was thinking. Now, is that possible? It was possible, but it was a realistic, maybe a little bit, not 100%, but
say like a 10% chance, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, there were guys that were regionals like that and climbed the corporate ladder like that before, but you find that usually it takes a little longer. Do you understand? It mm-hmm. would take a lot longer. You know, usually your store manager 10 or 12 years, your district manager 10 years or mm-hmm. better. Then you become a regional vice president, you know, that kind of thing. But never know, though. So that's kind of things, and that was my plan. And there was it really what was in alive in me at that time period, and it's dead now, but what was alive in me in that time period is this burning desire to be reverenced and accepted by people, mm-hmm. to be loved, to be kind of admired, okay? Mm-hmm. Kind of like when you read in the Bible how Haman wanted everybody to bow to him, and even Mordecai did, and it just ate him up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there in the book of Esther. And that's kind of how I was. I wanted everybody not so much to bow to me, but I wanted them to just be impressed by me. I wanted them to reverence me. And
every 21-year-old?
Yeah, just pretty much. And I'm on top of things. I'm making a pile of money as a system manager. I've got a wife and a kid. I've got a sharp car. All these things. And I'm just on top of things. And so some time had went by, and we're living out at this house, got a beautiful home. Our lane from the road, just to go from the road to our house, was 3/4 mile long.
Wow.
Yeah, to go check your mail from your door, what you drove down there, unless you're really in the mood for a mile and a half walk, because you walk 3/4 mile down and 3/4 mile back. Anyway, I used to try to run that a lot, try to get back in shape and mm-hmm. stuff, but that didn't last very long generally. but nevertheless, though, we lived so far out there, and I would sit out on the porch, and you could look right across the Mississippi River from our house and see just right where I come from in southern Missouri, and the bluffs there, and just all that area. I mean, we're just right where
really
I come
nostalgic.
From. Yeah, very, very important to me. I love that kind of thing. I'm a country person. I like the hills. I like the bluffs. I like the trees, and I love southern Missouri where I come from, and so it was really just perfect for me. I loved it.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Sure.
About Walmart, Would you say that at this point in your career, even though you've only worked there for a few years and you kind of climbed really fast, do you think that that job really had weighed on you and taken a kind of a toll on your family and you at that point?
It had. It had taken a toll really kind of on my marriage. And honestly and truly, I mean, there were times where, I remember one time waking my wife up in the morning by running. I had a waterbed, and I woke in.
From the 80s.
I run in there, and she's sleeping, and I guess, Dustin at that time period was, he's, 28 now, but he was, a few months old or whatever, and maybe coming up on a year old, and I remember running in there, and she probably gotten up quite a bit through the night, I don't know, and it was my day off, and I remember running there,
babies, yeah.
Jumping on the bed and going, wake up, and I made her mad, and her mom and dad were coming to visit today, and she just got mad at me. She said, "That's it. I'm packing up and going home with them."
Oh, no.
I knew we had a big old knockdown drag out there. And
I hope mom doesn't listen to this.
And no, hope not. Anyway, I just do things like that. And just kind of show you, just really, it taking so much toll. And
do you think that your rise to power, and even though you're assistant manager, I mean, that's still kind of a prestigious role after a really short time with the company. Do you think that really kind of fed into your confidence level and kind of, not necessarily your arrogance, but kind of?
I was very full of pride. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that might have really, put a huge dent in your marriage right away?
Well, I think pride always dents relationships, because pride kind of fences you about and doesn't allow you to be closely connected to people.
It doesn't let you bow first.
And so, it's always about you first, exactly. But nevertheless, though.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask that real quick.
Please do. That's the whole reason. And so.
I just want people to be able to understand the whole aspect of the story. It's not just you having the story to tell. I want them to understand the life that you were in and the kind of the toll it takes on you to live that kind of life if you're not careful.
Oh yeah, I was riding high on the hog, so to speak. I mean, I was on top of the world in my mind.
Sevens everywhere.
Yeah, I was just. I mean, I, this is where I was at in my mind. I thought, I'm just I'm doing everything right. I've got the kind of the bull by the tail, so to speak, or whatever the old sayings
bull
are.
By the horns.
Well, yeah, whatever. Anyway, somebody by the tail, somebody by the horn. I don't know. I was just as confident as all get out. But what had happened is when we went there, there wasn't a good fundamental Bible-believing church nearby. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the previous pastor had told me, he said, listen, this kind of church that we have, the closest one you'd find is about an hour away in a town called Belleville, Illinois.
It's an issue.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, yeah, I'll start going there. But you're busy at work, mm-hmm. and you're busy at work, and you're busy at
it's
work. And it's a long way to drive. And so long story short, I quit going to church completely. Now, I didn't really feel like I was called to preach at that time period, but, you know, looking back, I could certainly see that God was working in my heart to call me to preach. And so some time had passed, and I had really was proud of who I was becoming, and it was time to upgrade. I'd gotten a raise and a really great evaluation. And I felt it was time to upgrade vehicles.
Yeah, you need a fast car to match your fast lifestyle,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. So I was going to get a Dodge Shadow.
Ooh. Wasn't that like the Pinto of the 90s?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. But anyway. Point made.
Yeah,
so here's what happened was this is we went driving all around St. Louis and looking for cars and stuff. And we came, I think it was Lou Fuse or something like that. I can't remember who it was down there. And that, but I'm almost positive it was Lou Fuse. And there were a couple of Shadows. One was a Shadow and one was a Plymouth, whatever the Plymouth version was of the Shadow. What is it?
I think it's the Plymouth Breeze.
No, that wasn't it. And anyway, though, I can't remember. And we were looking at them, and finally we decided to buy the. It was might have been the Chrysler one, maybe that's what it was, and it wasn't Plymouth, maybe it was Chrysler.
So probably like a Chrysler 300 then, or something like that.
No, that was before the 300s, but but nevertheless, though,
300s are pretty early too. But
were they? But yeah. These were made in the late 80s, and I found a 1989. Of course, this is like 91, 92. So I found an 89. It's only a couple years old, and a couple of it's got like 45,000, 50,000 miles on it. And anyway, and the guy wanted $9,400 for it.
Is that a lot back then?
Yeah, it was a lot. And
that's a lot for now.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And I say 45. This, I think, had, I take it back, I think it had around 70,000 miles
wow.
on it. And the payments were going to work out to be like almost a couple hundred bucks per month, or 190, 200, somewhere in there, which was really a lot more money than I could have afforded at the time period. It was really going to stretch us and
to puff you up, huh?
Yeah, but it was such a sharp-looking car. It had a sunroof. It had a great stereo system, which is important to a 21-year-old. Uh-huh. And it was a hatchback, and it just was just a sharp-looking car. And so we started the pursuit to buy it. Well, then my wife, in my heart, I felt like I should not buy this car. And my wife had said, honey, I don't think we should buy this car.
Should have listened to your wife.
Yeah, and so then I was like, I remember driving down the road in Algonquin Bluffs in southern Illinois there, right outside Valmar, and driving along the bluffs there. And I remember it was kind of a hazy day, and it was kind of cloudy and kind of rainy maybe or whatever. And I looked up at the windshield, and I was kind of not really praying but kind of thinking about God. And I remember telling God that I would rather sell my soul if it were possible, which you can't sell your soul, okay? But I would rather sell my soul if it were possible and trade it in for fortune and fame, you know, climb the corporate ladder and do what I want to do and be famous with Walmart, make a pile of money and be extremely popular, that kind of thing, than really serve him.
Were you under the influence of anything at this time?
No, not at all. I didn't do that kind of stuff.
Not even music or anything?
Yeah, probably music. But I remember leaning forward and looking up to the sky and told God, just leave me alone. I want what I want. I want to do what I want. Just leave me alone. And
so you were a 21-year-old who is high on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of bought into it. I've never heard that story before.
So you think that... having had the strut knocked out of me once before with the bank deposit.
You think you'd learn.
Yeah, exactly. But God forbid I hadn't learned the first time. Or ever learned the easy way, to be honest with you. I'm going to take a drink here.
Glug, glug, glug.
But anyway, though, so I told God that. Well, then, and I told God, I know you may not want me to buy this car, but I'm buying this car. So, sure enough.
You're doing your own will.
At that time period, we closed two nights a week at Walmart. So you would go in at 6:30 in the morning, and then you would work to about 10 o'clock that night, 11 o'clock that night. And we called it, they were closed. You did that twice a week. And you got two lunch hours. You got a lunch in the morning, or, you know, lunchtime, and then you got the dinner time. And so what I did is I told the store manager, I'm going to take both those hours together in the afternoon, drive over and get this car. And so that was a Friday. Okay. And so I loaded up and headed on over and bought that car, drove it back, parked right up there in the front for everybody to admire.
Oh, yeah.
And always a sharp one car, black cherry.
Right,
oh, beautiful.
In the handicap spot.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done that. And I was as proud as all get out, you know, proud as peacock, this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking, haha, I bought that car. And this was a Friday evening, and one of the assistant managers came out, and they saw, and they said, oh, man, what a sharp car. And they were kind of jealous because they drove, you know, a car that wasn't near as nice as that. Granted, it was, you know, a Shadow or whatever. But
that made you feel good, huh?
Yeah, and again, feeding my ego. And
mm-hmm. Fanning the flame.
Yeah, exactly, fanning the flame. And I know guys never have these problems at all. No, and yeah, and definitely not our family, like you said.
Oh, for
And so, but nevertheless, though, this was on a Friday evening. Well, then Saturday, I forgot to call the insurance and transfer the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid nothing. It was $9,400, or maybe I paid $7,400 for it. I can't remember what it was. And it was either $9,400 or $7,400. But I was over-financed on this car by $2,000.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, we would call that upside down or whatever. And which was rule number one. My mom and dad would tell me, do not, you know, overfinance on something. Don't get upside down on it. You always want to be able to get out from underneath it. But God forbid I listen to my parents, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm 21 years old. I know everything, and I'm going to do what I want.
Thing.
Exactly. And, of course, God's going to knock the stud out of me again.
Mm-hmm.
And so sure enough, here I am. Saturday rolls around, go to work, showing off my new car. Sunday rolls around, come home from work, and I've got to run down the levee there for a little ways and do a couple of things. And I'm coming back, and it's late in the evening. It's Sunday night. Should have been at church, but didn't go to church. And I have the stereo cranked all the way up, and I believe AC/DC.
The best one.
And
huh?
It was on, and we all know how great their, how Christianly their music
how
is.
How influential it can
yeah,
be.
Yeah, and it
it's
is.
Just like TNT or, you know, Being Back in Black.
Yeah, and so anyway, so here I'm driving along the levee road, and again, you know, I grew up, my dad was a stock car driver, so I grew up on racing, and I understand about slides and things of that nature. And I'm driving along. And I'm always really proud of the way I can drive. Even to this day, I still have this NASCAR blood kind of flowing in me, and I drive a Suburban, much like, you know, it's a Winston Cup car or whatever it is,
it's
these
like
days,
a
Monster Cup car or whatever.
It's bobbing, weaving
yeah,
traffic all the time.
That's pretty much yeah, and I hold back on that because your mom would have a heart attack, and so I don't dare near as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, I think that handle on the roof has permanent print of her hand. You know.
Yeah, I think it's come loose a couple of times. Tighten it back up, so I'm driving along, and the music's blaring, got the sunroof, you know, open, and it's, you know, summertime, and the windows are down, and everything's just super, you know, I'm on top of the world, and there's a little, what I think's a chug hole, or mud puddle, and I'm just going to kind of, or a chug hole, I believe it was, I'm going to straddle it, but by doing so, I have to put my two tires on my left side, kind of on the edge of the levee there, but it's going around a turn, okay? So I want you to kind of visualize this. I'm headed north, and the Mississippi River's on my left-hand side,
mm-hmm.
okay? And at the bottom, this levee is 25 feet high, and it's really wide enough for two vehicles, but you want to slow down when you meet each other. You don't want to be running 45 mile an hour. You want to slow down, but it's really more of a one-lane road, okay? And it's blacktop. And the road turns to the right. So basically, as the road's curving to the right, to follow the river. Now, the river's a little ways off the bottom of the levee. You got the levee, but you got a little bit of what they call bottom land right there
mm-hmm.
between the river and the levee. And so I'm flying along there, running a whole lot faster than probably should have. I think I was probably doing around 60, 70, 80 mile an hour somewhere there.
In a 35?
No, there's no speed zone on there, but when you met a car, you wanted to slow down.
But
it was nothing for me to run 75, 80 on that thing all the time. But don't tell my mom and dad.
Don't listen, Grandma.
Yeah, as I was doing that, I see that chug hole, and it's, you know, getting dark, and the lights are on. And I try to straddle it. When I do, though, two of my wheels kind of drop off the side of the levee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not straight down. It's, you know, built as kind of like an angle. You know, it's built up as a levee.
A slope.
Yeah, it's a slope, very much so. And matter of fact, you would drive down in the bottom land off that slope,
really?
But you drive down on the side angle. because they had like little makeshift roads where they built them up a little bit to where you didn't go at too much of a slope or an angle. But if you went straight down, it'd be serious. And, anyway, and as soon as they did, they tucked down, and fear overwhelmed me. It was like, oh, my gosh, God beat me. Really and truly, I thought, oh, no, God, you know, here I've been rebelling against God, and this part of me just wanted to immediately just drop to my knees and submit. Well, when you drive 65 mile an hour or however fast I was going, you can't just stop right there and get on your knees. I mean, you're in the middle of driving. And so I immediately, trying to pull the wheel back up onto the side, back on the levee, But at this time period, the thing is going to cut, the turn's going to sharp, going to be a sharp turn here, and I'm afraid I'm going to drive off further off the side of the levee, and that's going to be really bad. And so instead of letting off the gas and that kind of thing, here's what I do is this is, I just, I'm trying to get it back on there, and I finally kind of jerk it back up on there, but I knew that if I jerked it back up on there, that I would run danger of sliding. Mm-hmm. When I do, all of a sudden, the shadow, the car that was in, starts to slide. When it does, the back side, the trunk is facing the river, and the other side's facing the bluffs. And I'm sliding sideways on top of this levee at about 60, 65 mile an hour. And now sheer panic is taking over. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I am scared to death. But again, you know, this is kind of stuff that I'm used to, and you know,
living
on the edge, of course. And but I mean, in my mind, you know, I was used to
more living on a prayer.
Yeah, you know,
another '80s flashback there. Probably had that cassette actually in the car with you, but continue your story.
Pretty much so, and I had a lot of things that car shouldn't have been having. But anyway,
did you have those fuzzy dice?
No, not yet. Really? And no, I never had those. But I'm sliding along here, there, along the side, and the back side of the car is facing the Mississippi River. And so I counter steer because this is stuff, you know, I was used to sliding and sliding through snow and dirt, mm-hmm. and mud, stuff like that. When I counter steer, the car starts to whip back around, and when it does, it starts to straighten up. And when it straightens up, I immediately thought, I did it. I pulled out of this thing. And I don't know whether I said it out loud, but I definitely said it in my heart. Ha! Like, I beat God.
Uh-oh.
And that's about the stupidest thing I could have ever thought or said or did.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened, whenever I did that, all of a sudden I hear pop. And what had happened was the right front tire blew. And when it blew, it automatically spun me back around. And now I'm going the exact opposite direction was going, and going towards the levee. So what was the river was on my left-hand side. Now the river's on my right-hand side.
Oh, no.
And I'm sliding off the side of the levee. And as soon as I go off the side of the levee, fear starts to well up in me.
Oh, yeah, I'm in for a ride.
Yeah, fear starts to well up in me. And when it does, the car then hits a rut and picks up in the air and does a complete complete circle in the air and rolls and comes down on the side there and rolls three times down the side of the levee. Now, I've never been one really where to wear my seatbelt, but that night I hadn't had a seatbelt on.
Wow.
But it pushed the windshield over so far that the third time around, second time around, the first time I closed my eyes and kind of screamed like a little girl, first time I closed my eyes, second time I thought, I want to see, and I opened up my eyes, and the headlights flashed onto the tall prairie grass going on the side of that thing, mm-hmm. and the grass came up through the windshield and poked me right in the face. to this day, I still remember that.
As this of accusing you and condemning you for disobeying God, you, even the earth was mad at you.
And so finally, it comes to rest about most of the way at the bottom of the levee, and music's still blaring. I try to open up the door. Of course, it's all bent in, and I got to kick it open, and I get out, and there, you know, there's this car with the roof caved in. The hatch had pulled up. And here's the thing that I think that broke me the most is the hatch pulled up and it completely curled under, and the mat that I had seat belted in for Dustin's car seat that had broken, and the mat came flying out and the car rolled over the top of it. Oh, and man. I thought to myself, if Dustin had been in this car, he'd be dead. And that just about killed me. Of course, Dustin's not even around a year old. I take it back, he's probably a little over a year old. And that about killed me. And I just, right there, I just start crying. And I reached in and I turned the music I turned it to a Christian radio station. There's preaching going on. And at that time period, I had a bunch of stuff in that car I shouldn't have had. I grabbed it all in my hands, and I grabbed me a big old handful, and I started marching down the rest of the bottom of the levee across that little, you know, bottoms there, and right over to the Mississippi River and started heaving in the Mississippi River, crying, telling God how sorry I was. And I went back, and I knelt down beside that car and told God, I'm so sorry about that car. I'll do anything He wants me to do from this day forward. I'll do what He wants me to do. I'll get back in church. I'll get right with Him. Because here's what happened. All of a sudden, I realized, I don't have the money to pay for this car, and I forgot to transfer the insurance. Now, I didn't know there was a 10-day grace period. And so I'm in panic mode. I call my mom, and I've come to find out that there was a 10-day grace period. So my insurance was going to cover this car, because even though I hadn't transferred it yet. So finally, after all that, I knew then the Lord would have been gracious to me. But what's funny is I got in the car and drove it home on 4 flat tires and, you know, crushed in windshield, crushed in hood. And,
well, good news is you can't do much more damage.
Yeah, exactly. And it took me a while to get home, even though I was almost home. And so then I know I got to wind down here. So I get right with the Lord, and I tell the Lord, from now on, we're going to start going to church, and we're going to live for Him, do what we're supposed to do. No more of this, you know, telling God to leave me alone. I'll do whatever He wants me to do. And I start praying. I said, God, you know, I need you to help me. Well, the insurance agent came by a couple of days later, and she was a tall lady. I can't remember her name. And she said,
What'd you do?
Yeah. She goes, this car's worth, it's either worth $5,400 and I'm financed $7,400, or it's worth $7,400 and I'm financed $9,400. And she told me, she goes, in order for us to pay this car off, you need to give me a check for $2,000. And I just used what little bit of savings I had, which was only about $600 or $700, to put a down payment on that car. And, you know, where am I going to get this money? And $2,000 today is a lot of money to me, but let alone back then, it was a lot of money. My parents couldn't just come up with that kind of money right away or anything. Nobody knew about it. She tells me that on a Wednesday night, okay? I hadn't gone to church yet. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I told you I'm getting right with you. If there's any way you could help me out here, I'd appreciate that. And that's on a Wednesday night. Friday morning, nobody knows that we owe, you know, $2,000. We had to come up with it. Friday morning, Amy calls me at work. She goes, you ain't going to believe this. And I said, what's that? And she goes, my Aunt Lee, before she had passed away, she was a pretty wealthy lady, decided she would send us a check. She felt like the Lord would have her send us a check. You want to guess how much money?
For $87.
$2,000, exactly. And so we were able to pay that car off. And then that lady, that insurance lady, found me a car just like the one I had. Then that was only $4,900 or $4,700. Wow. And it only had like 39 or 49,000 miles on it. It was just blue. It wasn't black cherry.
So you're telling me that car salesman got you good. That's the moral of the story. They got
the
you
moral,
good.
The moral of the story is don't make God knock a strut out of you. But but my point in saying all that is this, is it was God's way of breaking me down, getting me to surrender to do His will. And shortly thereafter, God begins to really set me on fire for Him. And then that's when God begins to stir my heart about full-time ministry. And I begin to really find my purpose then.
And even right after you broke, God blesses you, you know?
Exactly.
Crazily.
What's amazing is that woman told me that on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. We get the check Friday morning. That means that that lady had to mail the check on Wednesday.
Wow.
So that check was in the mail before she even knew about our issue. Because we were sure that the company, you know, insurance company would just pay for the car and just go buy another one.
Yeah.
And nobody even, Amy's mom knew and my mom and dad knew, but they, you know, I was making a lot of money. I was making more money than a lot of those people were making, you mm-hmm. know. And so it was just the way the Lord had worked it out. It was just amazing. And of course, I have about a dozen of these kinds of stories. And we're going to
tell them eventually.
Eventually, we'll get to them all. But yeah. Anyway, though, and really what I'm trying to say is this, is don't, number one, don't be stubborn towards God. And number two is this, is surrender to God and just let Him take care of things. And you'd be surprised what supernatural things God can do. And I want to tell you, I'm so much glad, or so much grateful, or glad, I should say, it was so much greater to surrender and do the will of God if I could get it right. So
absolutely. I think that story really proves that, you know. And maybe. One of the things that kind of stood out to me whenever you're telling that story, I know we got to close down here, we're running real long, but sure. I just want to say one thing that really stuck out to me is the fact that whenever you saw that that car seat piece had been crushed, you realized that your son would have died if he was with you. just it kind of is a really strong picture that the decisions you make in your life could make or break your family and cause lethality even in your family if you're not careful.
Yeah, they can be very, and again, God was showing me, look, this is what I can protect you from, mm-hmm. and this is the same thing that you endanger when you don't, you know, live for me. And so that's important to know.
Absolutely. And I think that really just kind of a real big, you know, thing that stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got to wind it down here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks, Pastor Robbins, for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And thanks, Levi, for coming in and helping me out here.
Always my pleasure. I love listening to these old stories.
I do, too. Anyway, so if you want to reach out to us and get your free mug, get your free T-shirt, if you just want to tell us a story, prayer request that you want to pass along, testimony, or if you have a question you want answered on the air, or if you just need any kind of help, let us know. Our Twitter accounts are at Tyler Robbins, TylerRobbins. Our church one is at ByTheBlood1, correct? At ByTheBlood1, all one word.
The number one, yep.
The number one, yep. If you tell us, get contacted to us through there. Otherwise, you can also email us at fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com go to our website, bytheblood.org. And then, of course, you can always message us through the Podbean app as I do monitor the comments there. Let's go and wrap it up. Thanks again, Pastor, for coming in.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Anyway, just remember, people, Lord loves you. Have a great day.